Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to the Annenberg Radio News Update on this Monday, April 17th, 2017. I'm Keith DeMoller. Part of the USC campus has been reopened after a natural gas leak this morning. Reporter Rose Poole has more.
It happened around 7:20 this morning at a new bioscience building that's under construction near the PSA parking structure. During construction, crews hit a gas line at McClintock near Downey. Steve Goldfarb is with the USC Fire Safety.
Two buildings were evacuated only as precaution.
Those evacuated buildings were the Seeley G. Mudd Building and Irani Hall. No one was injured. Officials lifted the evacuations shortly before 9 this morning. Goldfarb explains how the leak will affect construction in the future.
Right now, the construction company are investigating the actual cause and what occurred. And at this point, we don't know exactly. They'll be able to repair it. But right now, it's still in those stages of investigating.
It's not clear how this will impact the construction of the new building. It's due to open this fall. For Annenberg Media, I'm Rose Poole.
You'll have more time to file your taxes this year. Tax day is traditionally April 15th, which was Saturday. But since tax day fell on a weekend, the deadline gets moved to the following business day. And Washington, D.C. observes Emancipation Day today, so everyone's tax deadline is further postponed until tomorrow. Classes are back in session at North Park Elementary School, the site of last week's shooting in San Bernardino. Reporter Kaylee Heck joins us live from San Bernardino. She's been talking to concerned parents about how they're moving forward after the tragedy. Kaylee, what are the concerns about that parents have about these kids going back to the classroom?
That's right. Well, I got the chance to talk with a mother who has two kids who go to North Park Elementary School. She told me that she was genuinely scared to leave her kids at school today, and her daughter didn't want to leave the car, and that this mom is even afraid to leave her own house at this point. She said it's not only hard to believe it's been 7 days since the shooting, but that her family didn't even celebrate Easter yesterday because all their family could think about was that mother who lost a son in the shooting. Now, she did say that she found some comfort knowing that the school was going to get some new security protocols. Now, the district superintendent told us today that he wouldn't release any of those security precautions to the public because they want to keep kids in their school safe in the future. But right now, the school is just focusing on still providing grief counseling to students and staff.
Thanks so much, Kaylee, for that. That was Kaylee Heck from San Bernardino. In the wake of last week's deadly shooting, North Park Elementary School has added additional security measures. Russell Simon has more.
The North Park shooter was able to walk onto the campus by saying he was delivering something for his wife. Now, visitors will undergo a background check and be fingerprinted before being allowed on campus, and visitors are barred from going beyond the main office. Ken Trump works with a Cleveland-based school safety consulting firm. He says schools should take a multifaceted approach to safety.
And what we need to do is not only focus on the physical security side of things, more cameras, door hardware, fortifying your front entranceway, but also the people side of school safety.
Students and teachers at North Park will have access to crisis counselors and additional security staff as they try and adjust to a new normal. For Annenberg Media, I'm Russell Simon.
It's been a year this week since Prince was found dead in his Minnesota home. Now we're learning new details about his death. Reporter Misa Buscemi says authorities have released documents from the investigation into Prince's death.
The documents show investigators found prescription pain pills under the name Kirk Johnson in Prince's Paisley Park home. Kirk Johnson is the singer's estate manager and longtime friend. The records show doctors prescribed Johnson opioids for Prince to use in order to protect the rock star's privacy. Investigators also found counterfeit drugs containing fentanyl. USC clinical pharmacy professor Daryl Davies says that doctors are legally bound to only prescribe drugs, especially addictive opioids, for the intended patient.
That's completely inappropriate for a physician to prescribe for a different individual.
Davies says practices like this are probably very common in Hollywood. The new document suggests Prince struggled with an opioid addiction in the month leading up to his death. An autopsy revealed he died from an accidental overdose of fentanyl. The criminal investigation is ongoing, but so far no one has been charged. For Annenberg Media, I'm Misa Buscemi.
It reached into the upper 60s to mid 70s today, but April showers might be heading our way. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid 50s to around 60. Then mostly cloudy tomorrow with a 40% chance of rain in the afternoon. Tomorrow's highs will dip into the low 70s. An LA court order makes taking a selfie with the Hollywood sign more difficult than before. Thanks to a recent agreement between the city and the Sunset Ranch Horse Stables, the popular trailhead at Beechwood Drive is now off limits to visitors. A lawsuit filed by Sunset Ranch claimed that the high volume of hikers stifled their business and created unsafe conditions. 23-year resident Jim Van Dusen says hikers create problems for Beechwood Canyon homeowners.
With 40 to 100 hikers in the street, they don't even go on the sidewalks. They go to the bathroom on our urinate and defecate on our yards. They cut through the yards, they destroy property, just because the crowds are overwhelming.
The citizen group Friends of Griffith Park protested the city's decision Saturday. Hikers are upset that they won't have access to the trailhead anymore. But the city stands by its move, and instead encourages eager hikers to visit a different trailhead to the Hollywood sign at the top of Canyon Drive. More rainstorms are headed towards Northern California, and so state officials have reopened the Oroville Dam. A deluge of rain this winter damaged the dam's emergency spillway, leading to its closure. The incident led to the evacuation of nearly 200,000 residents because of concerns that the dam might break. But now the State Department of Water Resources plans to allow water through the spillway for the next 10 to 14 days to reduce the level of Lake Oroville. Meantime, the state accepted bids to repair the spillway and is expected to award a contract tomorrow. California lawmakers are proposing a new bill that would lower the voting age to 17. Supporters of the bill say high schoolers should be allowed to vote to instill a sense of civic engagement in millennials. California Secretary of State Alex Padilla visited a Sylmar high school this morning to kick off a week-long campaign encouraging young voters to practice their civic duty when they reach the voting age. Alana Bracken has the story.
The Secretary of State's office is trying to help instill civic engagement in high schools around the state with high school voter registration weeks every April and September. Secretary Padilla emphasized to the packed auditorium at Sylmar Charter High School that practicing your right to vote is vital in every election, big or small.
And if we really want to make a big difference in who politicians are paying attention to, we can't ignore the fact that the biggest group of people who are eligible but not registered is young people.
LA County voter turnout for last month's election, which included re-electing Mayor Eric Garcetti, was at an abysmal 11.5%. People are often apathetic about smaller city elections, but Minor Godoy of the Why Vote program says that's why it's important to portray voting as something to be excited about for high school kids.
Now that we have pre-registration here in California, I think it's a big deal because it helps lower the barriers for students to participate.
Matthew Erta is a student at Sylmar Charter High School and was at today's event. He says he learned that elected officials are there to be a voice of the people, which makes voting all the more important.
We ourselves don't always have the power to be able to make changes in this community. So I feel like someone that does obtain that power can hear our voices and be able to make that change that we want to see.
The event also included voter registration and pre-registration for students at the high school. For Annenberg Media, I'm Alana Bracken.
Cal exit has Cal ended. The California Secretary of State's office confirmed today that the Yes California Independence campaign plans to withdraw its ballot measure to have California break away from the U.S. The group says it only got about 100,000 signatures, but needed more than 500,000. More than 1 million people watched April the Giraffe give birth on a live stream from New York's Animal Adventure Park Saturday. Now, the park wants to help naming the newborn calf, a nearly 6-foot-tall baby boy. Zoo officials have announced a 10-day campaign to vote on the name. It'll cost you a buck a pop to vote, with money going to the park and charities. That's it for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Keith DeMolder. Thanks for listening.